Let me ask you to go ahead and take your Bibles and turn back to Matthew chapter 5. And we'll read some words there that Jesus had to say about influence. Matthew chapter 5, and we'll read verses 14 through 16. All right, you got it? Matthew 5, verse 14. This is Jesus speaking to the crowds, and here's what he said to them about their life being an influence in the world. He said, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." A few weeks ago, we began this series on influence, and I told you that I have two main purposes of bringing this series, and two very simple purposes. The first one is to convince each and every one of you, not through building you up or psyching you up or pumping you up, but through the Word of God, to convince every one of you that you are a person of influence. That you are a person of influence. The truth is, most of us go through the majority of our lives never believing that to be true. We see others as being people of influence, but we rarely think of ourselves as being people of influence. As a matter of fact, just as a refresher, let's do what we did a few weeks ago. Turn to somebody beside you and say to them, "You are a person of influence." Do that right now. Good job. Now, let's do the one that's a little bit harder than that. Turn to somebody beside you and say to them, "I am a person of influence." Do that. Poor Georgia is caught right in the middle of these two guys, and that's not an easy thing, I know. For some of us here today, that's very difficult to even speak those words out loud. I am a person of influence, because you don't believe it to be true. One of the main points of this series is, by the time we're done, I want to convince you through the Word of God that you are a person of influence. The second point of this series is, once we've established the fact that we are people of influence, I then want to show you ways from the Word of God how we can expand our influence for God. If you read the New Testament, you will see that Jesus Christ was all about expanding the kingdom of God. He wanted to include everybody in God's plan, not just a few. The language is there over and over and over again in the words of Christ as he commanded his disciples to go to the ends of the earth. He said he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. For God loved the world. And it's all through the New Testament. You see this language that Jesus wants the influence of the kingdom of God to expand. To expand. Well, last week we began a message that I'm going to finish today on the characteristics of influential people. What do influential people look like? And I told you that was not an exhaustive list. You can think of many other things yourself, but these are six things that I believe are key elements that are there in every influential person's life. We looked at three last week. For those of you who weren't here, let's recap very quickly. First of all, we said that influential people are encouragers. They're encouragers, every one of them. If you want God to expand his influence through you, one of the things that needs to be present in your life is you need to have an encouraging spirit. Remember, I told you, if you're negative, if you're critical, if you're pessimistic, you will drive people away from you and you'll lose your chance to influence them for Christ. But if you are an encourager, People will be drawn to you like a magnet, because everybody needs to be encouraged and everybody loves to be encouraged. You look at the life of Christ and how he loved lost people and encouraged them, and they couldn't wait to be around him. They would spend time with Jesus and they would run back and grab all of their family and friends and say, "You have got to come and meet this man and see how he's changed my life." That is the way you and I need to be. We need to be people of encouragement. I can't take time to really go into all these again today, but it's out there on the internet if you want to catch up on that. The second thing we mentioned is that people of godly influence are generous people. They're generous people. God has called us to be giving people, giving of our lives, giving of our money, giving of our time to his work to help spread the gospel and open doors. The truth is, God's work will remain undone if we are not generous giving people. But the good side of that, the flip side of that, is that God can open doors through our generosity that would never have otherwise been opened. Again, we see this throughout the New Testament, how generous those people were, how they gave of themselves. And as I mentioned to you last week, you know, we don't talk much about giving in this church, not as much as we should, to tell you the truth. We're sort of trying to err on the other side of what you hear so much on TV, you know, about send money to my ministry, and all that gets very old. But we cannot allow that extreme to dampen what the reality is of the Christian life, that we are to be giving people. We are to be generous people to the work of the Lord. And I mentioned to you also last week, if you are a Christian, if you have truly been born again, and you get offended, you get your feathers ruffled every time somebody in the church brings up the subject of giving, my dear friend, I want to tell you again, that is a sign of a serious spiritual problem. Because we are to be giving people. We are to hold what God has given us in open hands, not with clenched fists. God will expand our influence and open doors when we are generous people. And then the third thing we talked about last week was that people of godly influence help others achieve their vision. Oftentimes, God will do his greatest and most influential work through your life when you get on board with what he's doing in someone else's life and help them achieve their vision. When we partner together as brothers and sisters in Christ and work hand in hand together, we can accomplish so much more than if we just try to be an influence for Christ on our own. We have opportunities right now for that. We mentioned Don in Iraq and the Bibles that we want to help send over there. And I challenged you to really get on board with that and help make that a reality. We've got Courtney here in our church who has a passion for helping homeless people and helping to feed them. And we've issued the challenge to you to bring non-perishable food items. There's a little bin in the kitchen. I would challenge you to rise to the occasion. Go to the grocery store this week and buy some items that you can bring so that we can go and give to these people and share Christ with them. The point is, don't let any of us just be so focused on what we want to do for Christ. Let's broaden our vision and let's get on board and let's help other people accomplish their vision for Christ. Well, the fourth mark of an individual person that I want to begin with today, of an influential person rather, is that people of godly influence are people of faith. They are people of faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is 50% possible to please God. Did I quote that one right? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to live for Christ. And when I read in the scripture that it says, without fill in the blank, it is impossible to please God. That really bothers the fire out of me. I want to know what that is to make sure that I don't miss out on pleasing God. The Bible's clear. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. As you and I study the Scriptures, we will see that the men and women in the Bible who had enormous influence for God were men and women of faith. They may not have been the bravest people in the world. They may not have been the most talented people in the world. And 9 times out of 10, they had no idea how what God had called them to do was going to work out, but they had one thing in common. They stepped out by faith, believing with full assurance that what God had said was going to happen was going to happen. They knew it without a doubt. And when they did step out by faith, God did amazing things through them. And their influence for God spread to all the people around them, just like the video of those dominoes that we saw a few weeks ago, how that influence just spread throughout all of those 50,000 dominoes in that arena. Here's the thing. Every time a person steps out on faith, they are venturing into a place that they have never been before and never would have gone if they had not stepped out by faith. They're going to meet people they never would have met. They're going to go places they never would have gone. They're going to do things they never would have done if they had not stepped out by faith. And your influence for God will expand with every step of faith that you take. One simple example. Look around you this morning, this church. A few years ago, God called a small handful of people to take a crazy step of faith and begin a church in Greenville, South Carolina, of all places on earth. Crazy. In fact, when they first approached me about it, I told them they were crazy in no uncertain terms. And yet the more God began to show us clearly that this is what He wanted us to do, the more it became clear that we had to obey Him. Now, we stepped out into this unknown, not knowing what God was going to do, not knowing how it was going to turn out, not knowing how any of this was going to come together. But when we took that step of faith, and it required great faith, just look at what God has done. Look at how the influence of those small group of people, that small group of families, look at how their influence has expanded, how it has spread. Guys, those of you and your wives and families who were here at the beginning, there were just, 20 of us or so, could you ever have imagined that your life would have resulted in influencing as many people as have been influenced through this church? Think of all the people around the world who we hear from constantly through our website, who have come to know Christ through our website. The point is that that step of faith, that step of obedience, resulted in an expanded influence for the kingdom of God, and that is the way it always, always is. If you read Hebrews chapter 11, it kind of chronicles the lives of a number of great people from earlier times in history who lived their lives for God. Hebrews chapter 11, just that one chapter, uses the phrase "by faith" 23 times. 23 times in that one chapter. By faith, Abraham obeyed and left his home for a place that God would later show him. By faith, Moses left Egypt, not fearing the king's wrath. By faith, they crossed the Red Sea. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell. We see it over and over again that when we take a step of faith for God, it takes us to places we've never been, and our influence for God begins to expand and multiply. Faith is simply saying, God, I believe that what you have said is true, and I'm going to step out and follow you to the ends of the earth. That's what faith is. There are a lot of great definitions of faith, and all of them are good. But if you boil it down to the simplest form, faith is simply believing that everything God has said is true. And you and I can then begin living our lives as though it is already true. I think it's awesome what Jeff brought out this morning. He and I didn't even talk about that. We try not to overplan the services. We try to leave room for the Holy Spirit to do His job. And I think it's incredible what he brought out, that verse. And he said, in God's eyes, it's already happened. It is going to happen in our life. And that's what faith is. Faith is not, as I've told you before, cooking up some crazy idea and rushing into it, hoping that God will bail you out in the end if it doesn't work out. No. Our faith is not based on foolish notions. Faith is saying, God, I believe that everything you've said in your word is true, and I'm going to live my life like it's true. That's faith. And that is what is required in your life and mine if we want to be people of influence. I wonder if there's any area in your life where God has asked you to step out by faith and you're holding back. You know, I mentioned the phrase a moment ago, to the ends of the earth. We're going to sing a song at the end of this service called To the Ends of the Earth. I'm telling you, it's a powerful song. The chorus of that song is just phenomenal. In fact, I got up early this morning and was kind of going over things like I always do on Sunday morning and just trying to, you know, pray and listen to the Lord and make sure everything's in place. And I was listening to that song, and I looped it on my computer, and I was just playing it over and over again as I sat there for a couple of hours this morning. And the words of that song are so powerful, and when we sing that at the end of the service today, I want you to sing that song like it is our anthem. I want you to really sing out to the glory of God and say, God, I would go to the ends of the earth for you because I trust in you and I believe that everything you've said is true and I want my life to be an influence. And by the way, to the ends of the earth, for some of you, maybe as near as the end of that hallway down here. Maybe God is prompting your heart to say, I want you to help out with the children once every 6 weeks on Sunday morning. And to you, that is as far away and as frightening as traveling to the ends of the earth. You see, we don't have to go to the other side of the world to be an influence for God. Sometimes those journeys are just as overwhelming when they're right here. Is there anything that God has been prompting you to do, to step out by faith, and you just said, no, I'm too scared to do that? Well, you see, every time we say no to God, we're choosing to live a safe life rather than a bold life of faith. And when we say no to Him, we are closing the door and stopping His influence from flowing through us to other people. Church, I want to challenge you. Be a people of faith. Be men and women of faith. Believe that what God has said is true and step out and obey Him and begin living like it is true. Because it is true. What God has said, He will do. We can count on it. People of godly influence are people of faith. But not only are they people of faith, but they are faithful people. One of the simplest and most powerful ways to be a godly influence on this earth is simply to remain faithful over the course of time. There are people watching your life that you don't even know about. I can guarantee you that. Whether you're young, you're old, a man, a woman, it doesn't matter. There are people watching your life. And they're watching you to see whether or not all this Jesus stuff you're talking about is the real deal. You know why? Because they really want to believe it is. And because they've seen so many other people who've talked the talk but who have not remained faithful. And it has been a detrimental influence on their life. When we talk about having the greatest impact for God, folks, that's not going to happen overnight. The truth is, our greatest influence is going to happen over the course of a lifetime. a lifetime. Some of you have children who do not know Christ, and it breaks your heart. We hear you pray for them in the prayer meetings. And you want so much to push a button and make them come to Christ, but you can't influence them that way. The way you're going to influence them is to be a faithful person living your life for Christ day after day, week after week, year after year, decade after decade in front of them. And listen, folks, it may be after you've gone home to heaven that your influence for Christ will come back to them and remind them and bring them to Christ. It cannot be overstated the importance of remaining faithful to what God has called us to do. Think of someone that you know who once burned brightly for Christ. Think of them right now. Who is not burning brightly for Christ anymore? They're no longer faithful. What kind of influence are they having for God right now? The longer I live, the more I see how hard life can be and how easy it would be to just drop out. Does anybody understand what I'm saying? Any of you old folks understand, you know, old my age and up? Anybody understand how hard life is sometimes? And the easiest thing in the world to do would be just to say, this is too hard. Following Christ costs too much. Be easier just to drop out. I don't know about you folks, but I don't want to end my life bringing shame to the name of Christ. I want to go to my very last breath praising Him and for my life to be an influence for Him. That's what I want. But I want to tell you, it's not easy. I was telling someone recently, there's rarely a week. Listen to me. I don't know how you see me. I don't know how you view me. But let me just tell you the truth. There is rarely a week that goes by in my life that Satan doesn't come to me and say, just quit. Just quit. Rarely a week. This past Wednesday, an email and a phone call came into me before 10 o'clock in the morning. Both of them could have so easily derailed me and discouraged me from what God has called me to do here. The easiest thing in the world to do is to give up and to no longer be a faithful person. But I want to tell you, when I have moments like that, you know, one of the first things I start doing, I start thinking about some of you. And I think about some of the hardships that some of you have gone through in your life and how you get up every day and you're a faithful person. And I ask myself, how dare I even think of giving up? How dare I? I think of my Lord and all that He went through right up to the cross, loving people to the very end. How dare I think of quitting? I want my life to be an influential life for the kingdom of God. I really do. I'm telling you, folks, it is getting harder and harder to find truly faithful people. It just is. Getting harder and harder, even in the church. Proverbs 20, verse 6 says, many a man claims to have unfailing love, but a faithful man who can find? David cried out in Psalm chapter 12, verse 1, and said, help, Lord, for the godly are no more. The faithful have vanished from among men. It's very easy to feel that way sometimes, especially in church work. Are you a faithful person? You see, there are people who ride into the church and make a big noise, and they talk about their faith and their love for God and all of this. But as I've told you before, 3 months later, 6 months later, you can't find them. Why? They got bored and wanted to move on to something more exciting. Or they just got tired and they quit. Listen, are we faithful people? We can talk about being people of faith all day long. I want to ask you the question, are you a faithful person? I'm sure everybody in here knows someone who has impacted your life simply by their faithfulness over the years. I want to give you a homework assignment this week. I want to encourage each of you this week to think of at least one person who has impacted your life or is right now impacting your life because of their faithfulness, their undying, ongoing, unwavering faithfulness for Christ. And I want you to take 10 or 15 minutes out of your day and sit down and write a letter or a card to them or pick up the phone and call them and say, thank you for being a man or a woman of faithfulness because your faithfulness has impacted my life for Christ and it has helped me become who I am today for God. Would you do that? Listen, it'll carry that person for miles. One simple note, one little card. I would encourage you to do that this week. Maybe you say, hey man, I can't really do much for God. I can't be much of an influence. I'm not a real mover and shaker, you know, in the body of Christ. Listen, guys, if you will commit to remaining faithful all the days of your life, that in itself will be one of the greatest ways to influence the world around you than you can ever imagine. More than me standing up in here running my mouth every Sunday. It's the truth. The truth is, by the time most of us get in our car and start eating lunch, we've forgotten most of what has been said up here every Sunday. That's the truth. But the church has this mistake and has made this horrible error of looking to people who are in my place in the church, doing what God has called me to do, thinking that we're the ones who impact the world for Christ. Folks, that is not the truth. The truth is the world is not in this room this morning for the most part. The world is out there where you go every week and work. You can be a greater influence than I could ever be in my life simply by being a man or woman of faithfulness. Well, finally, I close with this. Not only are people of godly influence people of faith, not only are they faithful people, but they are active in their areas of giftedness. Most people I meet spend the majority of their time focusing on what they're not good at. They talk about their weaknesses, they say, I'm no good at this and I'm no good at that, rather than spending their time focusing just enough on their weaknesses so they don't become a liability, but focusing instead on what they are good at and what God has gifted them to do. Every person has areas of strengths. Every person has areas of weaknesses. But if you have been born again, God has given you spiritual gifts. And He's given them to you not for yourself, but to build others up and to help other people, and to help expand the kingdom of God. And what we need to do is spend the majority of our time focused on what God has gifted us to do. We need to live our life focused in those areas because that is where God will use us the most. Jesus focused on the area of His giftedness and on what God had called Him to do. As a matter of fact, He was able to sum up His entire life in one short sentence. All of His life, all of His ministry, everything He was called to do, He was so focused on it that in Luke 19:10, He said, I have come to seek and to save that which was lost. Wow. That's it. That was his entire mission on this earth, boiled down to that one sentence. And he lived so focused on what God had called him to do that when he got to the end of his life, he was able to say in John 17:4, "Father, I have brought you glory by completing the work you sent me to do." Jesus knew absolutely clearly what he was supposed to be doing on this earth, and he focused on that mission. I find it interesting that Jesus didn't write any books. Jesus didn't run for political office. Jesus didn't start a business. Anything wrong with any of those things? Nope. Not if they're what God has called you to do. Jesus didn't do any of those things. He knew that his greatest influence on this earth would come from living a highly focused life, doing exactly what God had called him to do. The truth is, God calls each of us in this room to do different things. He's gifted us differently, he's wired us differently, and he will use us in very different ways. Hey, don't spend your time upset or bothered or concerned because you don't have the gifts or the talents of somebody sitting over there. Rather, spend your time finding out what God has gifted you to do and then pray that God will use you mightily in that area. If you're a writer, write your heart out for God. If you're a painter, an artist, a musician, if you're a businessman, become the greatest businessman or woman the world has ever known. That's what God wants you to do. If you're a teacher, if you're a salesman, if you're a stay-at-home mom, whatever God has called you to do at this point in your life, and by the way, that may change down the road, but the key is to find out what God wants you to be doing with your life right now, and spend your time and your energies in that area, because that is where God will open up the greatest doors of influence through your life. Your greatest impact on this world is going to come through your areas of giftedness, because that's where the Holy Spirit is moving in you. I've told you before, I feel I need to say it again as I finish today. And I want to keep saying this because I want to help rid the church of this lie. I don't mean this church, I mean the church. When I was growing up, if somebody in the church walked the aisle and surrendered their life to go to the mission field, the whole church would stop what they were doing and plan a huge celebration around that person. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Now, I think that's a wonderful thing, that somebody would be called to go to a foreign land to spread the message of Christ. That's a wonderful thing. But I always used to sit there looking at that, thinking, what about the rest of us? Why are there no celebrations put on for the godly mechanic right here in town who lives his life day after day as a man of faith, as a faithful man, doing his part in the kingdom of God with grease under his fingernails? Why are there no celebrations for him? It bothered me. It still bothers me. What about the nurse who walks the floors of the hospital every day, or the woman who helps mentally ill patients every day with no thanks from anyone, and she's doing it to the glory of God? What about that person? Why don't we celebrate them? I say all that to encourage you this morning and to say again what I've said before. Listen, you don't have to become a pastor. You don't have to become a foreign missionary for your life to count for Christ. If you sit and type on a keyboard all day, if that's what God has called you to do, do it to the glory of God. And God will use your life to influence others for Him wherever you are. If you drive nails every day, if you fix broken pipes every day, whatever you do, do it for the glory of God and be faithful there until God calls you to do something else, if He ever does. Be faithful where you are. Whatever it is, be faithful. And focus on those areas of giftedness where God has planted you. And God will use you in that place to be a tremendous influence for the kingdom of God. Does that make sense? Y'all are looking at me like maybe I'm speaking another language. Are we connecting today?
Amen.
Folks, let us never celebrate people who are in the spotlight, so to speak, in the church. Oh my goodness, I've told you before, if I could do what God has called me to do in this church without getting up here every week, I would do it. I wish there was a way we could break this trend in the church, and I'm doing everything I can to help break the trend. I want to celebrate every person in the body of Christ. I feel that this is such an important point, this last point. People of godly influence are active in their areas of giftedness. I just meet so many dear, precious saints who live their life looking at the ground with their head down like, well, I'm nobody. You know, Phil, yeah, he's doing something for God's kingdom, and I want to just pull my hair out and go, no, it's not true. That's a lie. Whatever God has called you to do, folks, do it with all your heart. Just like our verse for last year, Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, do it heartily with all your might. Do it for the Lord and not unto men. Wherever God has planted you right now, that is where God wants to use you. If I quit doing what God has called me to do and became a fashion consultant, I don't know what's so funny about that. What? I'm pretty hip, right? This is one of Walmart's finest right here. If I quit doing what God had called me to do and became a fashion consultant, my level of influence for the kingdom of God would plummet unless God had called me to do that. What has God called you to do with your life? Do it. Do it. I believe the only reason God is allowing me to influence people for Christ right now the way that He is because, not because I'm smarter than anybody or more talented or any of that. It's simply because God called and I said yes with trembling knees. And God said, all right, come on, pal, I'm going to show myself strong through you because you obeyed me. Do what God's called you to do, and He will use your life as a mighty influence for Him. Let's pray. Father, we know without a doubt that the world needs people of faith. The world needs faithful people. And the world needs to see Christians who are blooming right where God has planted them. Not always living their life, looking 10 years down the road, wondering what they're going to be doing, where God's going to call them, but just right now, today. Lord, the world needs to see that. I pray you would make us all people who are really focused on being active in our areas of giftedness. And Lord, we know that you will call us to different things at different times in our life, but first you want to see if we're going to be faithful right where we are, because you'll never move us beyond that point if we're not. I pray, Lord, that what has been said today would make sense. I pray it would sink into our heart, and I pray most of all that it would influence our lives as we move forward and follow you day by day. And Lord, all of this we want to come about to bring glory to God. In Jesus' name, amen.